Welcome to Milkshake Monday, episode 194, Empty Fish Tank. I'm Anita Helm. And for those of you, tonight is the first night that Milkshake Monday is being broadcast under our new business, Four Dose Production. So welcome, and I'm very glad to have you. Now, tonight, I want to share with you how this teaching came about. On one of the Sundays near Memorial Day, we had a situation where the person who set up the room had set up the room for dozens more people than we normally have. And so when we walked in, we saw all these extra chairs. It looked great. It looked great. The room was really set up very well. But as I was sitting there, I was like, wow, one day God can bless to have all these chairs filled. But I said, for today, you know, Reverend Helm preaches, no matter if he has 15 or if he has 150, he preaches the same. And that's what my husband used to always say, you have to be ready to preach the gospel to one or to 1,000. You have to have the same message of God's truth. Well, the next day, our family had gone out of town and we were staying overnight at a different person's place. And so what happened was, while we were there, we found ourselves, at least I did, my pup and I get up very early in the morning. And what happened was, when we got up, I started doing my journaling and he was distracted and he kept looking over at this thing. And I wasn't paying attention to what he's looking at, but he kept turning his body. And so finally I looked over and I saw there was this giant fish tank. And the fish tank was bubbling with the filtration of the oxygen and the air that was going in it and all the bubbling and was making noise, and the dog kept reacting. I looked over and it had all the things that you'd have in a fish tank, the rocks and the decorations. It had the faux flowers that were there in the background. It was a gorgeous fish tank. But as I got up to leave after writing in my journal, I looked and I saw there were no fish. I said, here was this giant fish tank already, but there were no fish. And it made me remember what was at the situation at our church, that we had all of these chairs. And I thought to myself, I said, thinking of the correlation as the churches and the houses of worship and the fish tank, I said, you know, even if you have a fish tank and it's got all that stuff and all the preparations, there's elements that are not covered in the fish tank by itself. First of all, we as people have to be wanting to have fish. Because when you have those fish, there's responsibility. You have to feed the fish. You have to clean that fish tank that's just sitting there. You have to think, do you want to have some kind of scavenger and buy the scavenger? And then, you know, all these things come with that fish tank. Right now, it's just empty. And I thought about, how are we prepared when it comes to these houses of worship where, you know, we have a situation where you find that people want to have a church building, but in reality, if you don't have the elements of when the fish get there, they can die, and you don't want that to happen. So this is something I wanted to talk about tonight. I wanted to show some things about the Lord's ministry, and I wanted to also talk about a comparison between being a fisher of men, and then what I always say at the end of Milkshake Monday, I said, the harvest is ripe. It's plenteous, but the laborers are few. But how I'm going to compare being that fisherman versus that farmer who's harvesting. But I'm going to show you some things. So let's start with the first example, which talks about God has said he was going to make the disciples that he first called, Peter and Andrew, his brother, he's going to make them fishers of men. And what's interesting is that they were fishermen. They had a business, a family business of being fishermen. So look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. And it reads, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. But again, their business was fishing for little fishies. He's going to talk about a whole different dynamic. Verse 19 says, then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, what I have to have you understand, like us, Christ didn't end it by the fact he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. That's not where it ended. All of a sudden, they weren't going to just be fishers of men. What you will see is that Christ himself, for 3.5 years during his earthly ministry, while he was still in the flesh, he had them day to day, side by side, and he was teaching them. He was admonishing them, correcting them, disciplining them, showing them about miracles, showing them about parables. When they asked him, teach us how to pray, he was teaching them things that they didn't understand, that they were honest enough to say, we don't know how, or what does it mean when you teach in parables? And he would explain things. Even after he resurrected, he came back and still continued to talk and to teach and admonish his disciples of what to do. And even as you see in the Acts of the Apostles, that they were speaking, even when Paul saw, there was still disciples that were being brought into the ministry with Jesus Christ, and even continuation of that teaching and training, and that even Christ introduced who he was. He introduced who his Father was. He introduced the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So all of this was happening even after Christ told Peter and his brother Andrew, I'm going to make you fishers of men. So I say that because some of us are at this period of time where the people in the worship houses don't feel comfortable coming back. One, because they may think about COVID. The other thing is they could say, I've gotten comfortable. I feel very comfortable not having to leave my home, and I can just listen on the TV, the Facebook, the streaming service, the internet. I just have gotten comfortable. So in this in-between time of the worship houses not being full to the quick, I encourage those of you in spiritual leadership, whether you're teachers or trustees or pastors or doorkeepers or wherever your role is, to be in prayer, because you want to make sure that when the fish start coming in the house, the caught fish, whether the people who are disciples already, and the new fish, the people who are learning about Christ Jesus and who are coming in because of Four Dose Production or because of people sharing the gospel, we need to be ready and prepared to know that just as Christ taught and fed and encouraged and gave people hand, you know, that he was holding them by hand and teaching them day to day, we have to be ready that when you have babes in Christ, new converts, you can't just assume after 5 days they're going to know everything they need to know about being a Christian. All of us are still learning, so will these babes in Christ. So that's something to learn about the fish tank. But even that, I want to talk about the members of the body of Christ, because there are certain scriptures, and I'm not going to go to all these scriptures because I just did a talk about the Four Dose Production announcement. So there's something for you to look on for that. And then you have this now Milkshake Monday teaching. I want you to actually see that when it comes to the body of Christ, all of us are accountable to do the work of Christ, to be prepared for if you find yourself not having a full fish tank, if your house of worship is not full and you have seats and pews and places and overflows that are still not full, all of us as members of the body of Christ, as the Spirit wills, he gives us gifts. He gives us things that he needs to be done in the house of worship for people to get to know Jesus Christ. So I'm going to read a few of these scriptures, and it's going to talk about the body and the members, but I want you to see yourself. And if you can't find yourself, I want you to go back and read again. Because if you say, I'm too old, I'm too weak, you're going to find yourself here. If I'm too small, I'm not like that person. Don't compare, don't compete, because God has made you uniquely what he wants you to do and to be in his house of worship. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:12. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. You all hear that? It's not about what you feel that you can do or how you feel comfortable. God has set you in the body just as he pleased, for his purpose, for his will, for his service, for his glory and honor. 1 Corinthians 12:22. Hey, can you figure out 1 Corinthians 12 is where we are? Verse 22. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker, are necessary. Because remember what we just saw in verse 18? The Lord has placed you in the body just as He pleased. So because you're older, you're grayer, you're slower, you can't see as well, you can't hear as well, please don't think because you're weaker that you're not needed, that you're not necessary. You are there for a purpose. Don't you know that it says the older women should teach the younger women? The older men should teach the younger men. You have a purpose. You have a plan that is a part of the body of God. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. I keep wanting to encourage because that's my heart tonight. I have been put in a position that the Lord has blessed me to be that person that I used to be called in my professional secular business, the maximizer, because I like to take something that hasn't been appreciated or valued and bring that value to it and encourage. And that's how the Lord's Spirit does. He's always encouraging us. He's always allowing us to read and to study the Word of God so we can have better knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. In this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members and members individual. Each of us, that's why it says the Lord gives to us the Spirit and the spiritual gift as He wills, but He gives them individually as He wills. But we are a body, even though we're made up of individuals. God has blessed us, each of us. And if we would stop competing and comparing with one another and just knowing that we all have a place, we all have a purpose, we all have a part of that divine plan, if we just work together. Don't let the 20% do all the work when the other 80 are just watching and criticizing and saying what they can't do. Trust God. Now, we're going to the place in the scripture now out of Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38, because every night that I end on Milkshake Monday, Lord willing, I try to say that scripture that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few, because I want everybody to realize that as a member of the body of Christ, there is labor for us to do. And that our labor in the Lord could mean the difference between somebody going to hell or somebody going to heaven. And we don't know. That's why we have to continue every day that God gives us breath. We have to praise God with that breath. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. But at the same time, we have to yield our very lives to do what thus saith the Lord, to do things for His honor and His glory. So look at what the scripture says in verse 37 of Matthew 9. Then saith He unto His disciples, us, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. The key things, even about Fordo's production, I need your prayers. I sincerely ask and beg of you to pray that God's will be done, because it says that He will send forth laborers. Myself and those who will become a part of Fordo's productions, we're laborers in the ministry of the gospel of the Lord, and it's His harvest. These people that are suffering, that don't know that they are loved by God, that think that they're forgotten, that think that their marriages are going to just crash and burn. But guess what? If we don't go and share truth and wisdom and knowledge with them, they're just going to be left to Satan and his lies. So it's important for us to be laboring. But this is something that I wanted to share in the compare and contrast of a fisherman versus the farmer who's doing the labor of this harvest. And I want you to see something. I even asked Faith. I said, Faith, just tell me some things that you think off the top of your head when you think of a fisherman and a farmer. And at first she wasn't sure which kind of farmer. And I said, the farmer that's actually pulling up crops in the sense of the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And what we both came up with is that both of them are doing labor, heavy labor. A fisherman is outside somebody out in a farm or a field is outside. So there'll be times that the Lord will let you be inside your house, let you be inside the house of worship, the four walls of the facilities and the buildings and the sanctuaries. That's true. But if you saw how Christ operated, yes, he was in the synagogue teaching, but he found himself at a well. He found himself on the road. He found himself passing funeral. He was always out and about. And when you see fishermen, they're out on the sea. They're out in water. They're not inside these four walls. And those people who are doing labor for harvest, they're out as the Lord and the Spirit leads them. So that labor is something. It's not easy work. It's not non-sweat work. It's work. Because when you're led of the Lord, there are times that you will feel fatigued. But that's why he says, be not weary in well-doing. That's why he says that we will renew our strength like the wings of eagles. That's why these scriptures tell you that it's not going to be easy. It's labor. That's why I say the laborers are few. Because people would rather just say, I'll send a check. I'll let the pastor do it. I'll let him be bone tired. I'll just sit back and watch. But I don't want to labor. But that's the thing about God. God allowed himself to be tortured and labored to carry a heavy cross to the point that he couldn't even carry it. And they had to have another man to carry that cross. He labored to get to the cross. And he was tortured on the cross. And he resurrected off the cross. But he said to us, we have to go. And he tells us that we have to labor. But another thing about this that I think that we sometimes will not recognize. If you get a fish and you're fortunate, my brother-in-law loves the fish, and you're fortunate enough to get a fish. If you get that fish and you show it off and you don't properly take care of that fish, you either clean it and cook it or you put it away and freeze it and seal it properly. You can let that same fish that you caught spoil, and it's a waste. And sometimes if we are not expectant and understanding of what it requires to get the fish, yeah, we fished and we received the fish, but if we don't have the fish tank ready, if we're not ready for the food, if we're not ready for the cleaning, if we're not ready for the oxygenation, if we're not ready for all the pieces of after we catch the fish, then that's where things go bad and people come in the church and roll right on out because they don't see that love that they thought they heard somebody profess about Christ. They don't see what the message of truth about truly praising and worshiping God, or is it just entertainment and making somebody feel good? They see a lot of, oh, this is my tradition. This is my pew. This is how it's always been done. They don't understand when that person's coming with that fire of the Lord, they want to just go out and they just want to go. And the other people just want to slow. They don't want to do anything. They don't want change. They want that fish tank to stay the way it is. They don't want anything progressing. But that's why God says we have to press toward the mark. And even when you think of the harvest, if you get all of that harvested grain, harvested wheat, and you just let it sit there and let the fowls and the bugs, and it just sits there and nobody does any kind of grains and nobody makes it wheat to be eaten or to be cereals or to be all the things. You just let it sit there. You get it and you just let it sit there. It goes to waste. And the labor is not just you sharing the gospel. There's more to it. Just like Christ gave an example, we have to make sure that we are training up and encouraging and making sure they have contact with us. Not just come before and then we say the invitation of discipleship and we get a name and a phone number and an email address and we're going to put you on the mail list and we're done. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Even for four does, I teach Milkshake Monday, but I know that there are pastors and teachers and evangelists and missionaries and people are following up to talk to people. That's what my prayer is. And even if I were to go to someone's worship, I know that somebody has asked me to come, but there's a host of people that are there. I've been reading that book for Billy Sunday, who was a professional baseball player, and God called him, and he went and he did all of these evangelical teachings, but he coordinated with pastors and teachers so that there was a network of people who were there to help these new babes grow and that they weren't just dying on the vine. They weren't just starving to death. They weren't just left to themselves. And so I just wanted to share that because as I thought about this empty fish tank, I was saying, God, Where's the correlation? And you know me, I'm inquisitive. I'm always asking God, what does this mean? I try to be intentionally prayerful. What does this mean? And it ties in with announcement day of Four Does. And I've already sent a separate announcement for Four Does production that's in a different video. But I just wanted to thank all of you for Milkshake Monday. I will still be on Milkshake Monday. I will be doing the broadcast from Four Does Productions Facebook page, but it will correlate and be sent over to the Milkshake Monday group and the Transformation group. And I will also try to make sure that it will be on the Anita Helm, my personal page, but we're going to be trying to transition off at just being on my personal page for Resurrection Baptist or even the Milkshake Monday teachings or any teaching, just so we can make sure that we have a broader platform. And I just want to thank Pam and all of you all that have encouraged and you do scriptures. It's just been a blessing. And I just ask you to keep praying, because I know there's something valuable for the Lord, for his good news, for his service that's going to come out. So it's not going to be a long Milkshake Monday, because I do want you to look at the announcement day that we just put up. And I also wanted you to look at this. And I love you. I thank you. And like it says, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Let's pray to become a part of the labor force for Christ's service and for his honor and glory. I love you, and Lord willing, I will see you next week. God bless you. And don't forget, I need you all to sign up on the Resurrection. Excuse me, I said it. I'm getting older. Go to the Four Does production. You can put Anita Helm and it will come up on YouTube and subscribe. You can also sign up on the Four Does production. .org on my website, and you can get on our mailing list, and you can like and you can follow this webpage on Four Does Production on Facebook. I love you, and thank you so much for your patience. I'm going to need it. God bless you.